I'm Grant. I'm from Costco, and I'll be telling you about the train wreck.
And our other presenter is Mike here. And
Mike Metesky, owner of Opus 4 Studios.
Thank you for having us here.
Well, you're very welcome. You know, I'm going to tell you just a little bit more about me than I usually do, because normally we do like five-second things, okay? But you may already know this, maybe not. I'm a cellist. I have a master's in cello. I have a doctorate in conducting. I have recorded as a player in Los Angeles, of course, up here, Arizona, at Abbey Road, in Scandinavia, Switzerland, France, and so forth. As a musician, I had Opus 4 Music Publishing, and we have maybe, I don't know the exact number, maybe 125 publications, something like that. I've been fortunate to be associated with and be able to work with some wonderful musicians. We, in fact, many years ago, won the, in the United States, in fact, Instrumentalist Magazine awarded us with the best arrangement for, I don't remember what year it was, late 1970s for some stuff we did. And so, yeah, it's fun to work with musicians, being a musician. I know there are some people here who are musicians who understand that. It's huge, actually. Also, as an audio guy, I've been involved in one way or another with audio since about, I don't know, eighth grade, something like that. I was lucky enough to be mentored by a guy whose day job was a physics professor down at Caltech, and but he was his daughter was my stand partner in a youth orchestra, and so I got some instruction in electronics and in physics and so forth, and we happened to build quite a few products of the day, whether they were Heath kits or maybe breadboarded stuff, you know, who knows. But that was then. I started as a math major at Cal Berkeley, changed to music because that was the first time I was ever truly away from music, and I just couldn't. I didn't like that part. Yeah. Anyway, so that's certainly more than enough about me. Grant Crawford, whose day job at Costco Corporate in Issaquah is, and correct me if I'm mistaken, Grant, but I believe it's a marketing manager for Costco Travel. So that involves not only us, but anybody who takes advantage of that. If we were to actually calculate how many people that would be, I'm sure that I would run out of fingers and toes. I mean, you know, it's a lot of people. So it's a, and it's something I have actually taken advantage of, my wife and I. And dang it, it's good. It actually is, it's good. So anyway, that's it. But from our standpoint, though, Grant is a Bothell High School graduate. He is a musician. It's not just because my daughter and my son graduated from Bothell High School that we have this connection, even though I like it. But for the last several years, he's been involved with the recordings that we've done for Costco. And it's for a special occasion that Grant is as familiar with or more familiar with than I, certainly from some standpoints, because he's down there at corporate. He can tell you things I didn't experience. So anyway, Grant, so the title of this.
Yes.
When timing audio for video becomes impossible.
Did you write
impossible.
This?
I think that was primarily Rick Chen. I think we had input on it.
Rick, you've been around for it. Yeah. Sorry you called it a train wreck, but it's kind of what we're here to see.
Yes. I'm going to
go ahead. Hit the button. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, let's see what happens. So I just wanted it to be clear. It's not that we're trying to be pejorative or trying to knock down Costco whatsoever. It is, as we know, on balance, a great organization. It's an excellent, excellent brainstorm of Jim Senegal and Brotman. And I mean, those guys did a wonderful job in this one person's opinion. And I've had a Costco card now for 31, 33 years, maybe. I don't remember. Something like that, anyway. So, but I'm going to let Grant give you the prelude to all of this.
So I will tell you about how this project is by way of how I got to know what this project is. So I was walking down the hall to talk to my friend Fred, and he worked
in graphics for the HR department. And I was talking to him for a while, and somebody said, you should talk to Grant. And I'm like, who said that? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's Kai. He works. Oh, yeah, hi, Kai, I know you. And he said, you're a singer, aren't you? And I went, no, I'm not a singer. Oh, we need a singer. And then there's this buzz. Well, do you're a musician then, right? Yeah, uh-huh. Well, do you know any singers? We need a singer. Like, what? No, you know, I thought this was graphic. So they said, no, we do this thing for the manager's conference, and we need a singer. And I said, what thing? Why do you need a singer for the manager's conference? And they said, you didn't know about the memorial? And I said, what about the memorial? And they said, well, every year, as part of the manager's conference, all the managers gather from all over the world to meet for about a week at the end of July and early August. And they spend about 10 minutes in a memorial with every Costco, to memorialize every Costco employee who's passed away within the organization. And I said, well, that's cool. How come I never knew that before? And they said, well, they don't talk about it a lot, but it's something that we do every year. And they said, the other thing that's important is the senior VP in charge of this wants only Costco members, or I'm sorry, only Costco employees to be a part of this. So everything that you hear, all the voices, all the music, all Costco people. So I said, well, that's kind of neat. I do know some singers from playing music. You kind of get to know the other players around the office, and I can ask them. I can find out if anybody's interested in singing. And I said, tell me more about the project. And they told me about Mike. So the next thing I knew, I was in the office with the senior VP and a whole bunch of other people, and we were talking about what songs were being selected for that year. And he said, well, I'm thinking of, I can't remember what one song it was, but the other song was either Stand By Me or Lean On Me. And does anybody have any opinions about this? He doesn't know me from Adam. And I said, well, you don't want to do Stand By Me. And there's this hush around the room. It's like, who's the new guy? And I said, well, Stand By Me is Darlin', Darlin', Stand By Me. I don't think it's really appropriate to be looking at your coworkers who've passed away and you're thinking those and feeling those thoughts about you remembering them and what they meant to you and saying, darling, darling, stand by me. Where on the other hand, lean on me when you're not strong and I'll be your friend. That's more appropriate. And senior VP looks at me like, I don't know. Well, okay. That's fine. Well, from there on out, I guess I was roped into this deal. So for having an opinion. The other thing I'd like to say about these early times getting involved is that everybody seemed to be sharing a secret that I wasn't in on. It was a lot of, oh yeah, well, wait till he tells you he's going to get this. Yeah. Right. What are you talking about? What's wrong with this project? And they said, oh, you'll find out. And like, what do you mean I'll find out? What could be so bad? And I did find out what was so bad about it. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. But in technical terms, what it is people are in life and they're passing away and we don't have any control over that. And Costco wants to do the right thing in the memorial at the end of July by having as many people there as possible represented. But that number is always changing. So at what point do you call it and you say, we're done? It's a tough call in that, and it's been hard for everyone around the world. This is not their top priority. This is not their day job, is getting pictures and little bits of information out to the home office. So they would be late, and that created some problems. And the senior VP in charge of this wanted to make sure that we did the right thing. So he would be frustrated on one hand. Oh, we got to get everybody in there. But on the other hand, it's like, look, they had their chance. We reminded them. I sent them all five emails, and you know they should know. So that's really the problem: is that we start the project knowing it's going to be somewhere between 9.5 and 10.5, or even 11 minutes, depending on how many people pass away. So you have absolutely no control over that. And the senior VP, his direction is very clear. I want this not to be about the music. It is about memorializing the people. It is about watching these people, and I don't want anything to get in the way of that. So I don't want a big production, a big song and dance, even in terms of the music production. I want it to be background, is his goal.
So that creates a problem, obviously, because from a musician standpoint, now they didn't have anybody who knew music at all, except for the senior VP was a singer. And he often didn't, I don't think he really knew a lot about technical matters, about how you would approach a problem like this and say, okay, well, what we should do is record plenty of music in, you know, a few different songs with thinking ahead of time, this is where we could make an easy cut or whatever. Instead, he said, I want this song and I want it to be like this. And so with that driving force and that vision, it made for a real crash about middle of June, when all the tracks are recorded, and now they're coming in and saying, well, it's going to be about X number of minutes or whatever, and then Mike, before my time, would have to edit, and then they would come back and they would say, oh, well, we need a little more, and then they'd come back again and they'd say, okay, so we're almost out of time, but can you please help us with this one little thing or whatever. So from your perspective, I'll throw it back to you. That's kind of the background of the story.
Well, I mean, that is a summation. That's a very accurate summation. It's also very accurate to say that the senior VP, who in the early years was out here and recorded here, is a musician, is actually a very good musician, mm-hmm. in terms of his musical, sheer musical instincts. And because of his understanding of what, after all is said and done, is important in this memorial. And what is important is not whether we create a great song and everybody says, oh, great song, or, you know, something like that. It's the remembrance and the nature in which we remember these people. The music is an underscore, after all is said and done. It's not job number one, really. But it's the only thing that's heard. So anyway, it has to be, you know, we want to do it in a good way. Let me move on to the next slide.
Ah, yes.
The first song was Going Home. Going Home. That was written, actually it was excerpted from the New World Symphony by Antonin Dvorak. It was written in the 1890s. It was written while he was in New York City, by the way. You say, Dvorak, isn't he some European guy? Yeah, well, he was in New York City. And yeah, he was influenced by some Native American songs and so forth, and by some Negro spirituals and so forth. But the song itself is actually a good song. It's a good song, and I can understand why that was chosen.
Yeah.
Our task, and this is not a task we chose, this was a task we were assigned, a little different, was to take voices from South Korea, from French-speaking Canada, was it Quebec or?
Montreal.
Oh, Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
From somewhere in Spain, in the United States.
As many countries as we could get was my marching orders. Go out and find people throughout the world who can sing.
Now, a blessed event occurred. I wasn't in charge of the initial screening and so forth. Grant had to deal with that.
Yeah.
Before this occurred, I was asked to provide, in fact, I think I may have, well, I don't know if I was asked or if I just said we better do this, but I provided some basics. Those of you who have recorded, and I am going to presume that most of the people in this room have been involved in the recording process. If you, for instance, you use Pro Tools, it doesn't have to be Pro Tools, it could be, you know, Logic, who knows what, you know, you realize, well, we want to get, we'd prefer to deal with compatible files than things from all over the world. And maybe somebody gives you a 64 kilobit MP3, somebody gives you a 2496 file and so forth. So we set certain standards. We didn't want to have a surround sound voice mixed with a mono and so forth. So we said, this is what, you know, so we had something that just would sound as if, that would allow us to maybe fit it together so it would sound as if they're all a part of the same song and they all belong in the same room. I don't know if you have anything to add to the difficulties with that, but
yes, I do. Yes, I do. So our marching orders, my marching orders, when I went to talk to the senior VP about this, he says, I want there to be a diversity. This is the International Managers Conference. So I want people from all around the world, they've traveled here, to know that we respect and honor them as much as we do ourselves. Because it's all in English, you can imagine, you know, that'd be fine for all of us English speakers. So that was his passion, that was what he wanted, that was his vision. So he did a lot of the legwork of contacting the regional offices to say, who do you have that's a singer? And we need auditions. So we didn't get many from the U.S. I don't know if he asked the U.S. But we got one from Canada. We got, I think, just one from – no, we had two from Korea, and we had about five from Spain. And that's where Costco is, and that's what we had to work with. So we did some selections on those, and he and I kind of agreed. It was good that we, you know, listened separately and then came back with our notes. So we had Diego from Spain. We had Grace from Korea, and we had Serge from Canada, from Montreal. Now, Serge was tough to get a hold of. I don't know what was going on. Someday maybe I'll find out. But he was very hard to get a hold of and very hard to get anything back from. So I came here, recorded a scratch track of the piano part, butchering Dvorak as best I could, and trying to guess at what key these people would want to sing in, because I didn't really know. And the guy from Canada had a deep voice, but we didn't know. A-flat was where we ended up. There you go, A-flat, and we're going to try it.
And also the tempo.
And the tempo was another question. You know, I'm talking to the senior VP saying, okay, well, the Robeson version, which is the one you like. Going home, going home, just goes all over the map for tempo, but that's the nature of it. That's what's cool about it. So I said, it's anywhere from like 40 beats per minute to about 96 beats per minute. Can we get it somewhere in the 60s? Seems to me to be about right, and I kind of sung it for him a little bit and got his buy-off on that. And I was like, okay. But I don't want a click track. He didn't want a click track. I'm like, okay, no. They have to feel the music, was another one of his priorities. Okay. Okay. Well, okay. So I went back here. I recorded the scratch track as best I could to somewhere in the 60s, trying to anticipate what key they were going to be in and trying to anticipate what the proper meter would be when it was all said and done with the mysterious voices that we hadn't heard yet. So that's what I did in preparation. And then off that MP3 went to everywhere for them to practice and to send something back so that we could evaluate and Senior VP could make his notes and send back to them.
Well, just to summarize one point Grant already made, the musicians were not in charge of the tempo. The engineer was not in charge. The musical coordinator, I'm giving you a title, which is probably fairly accurate, I'd say.
I want my business card at the end of the evening.
Yes. He wasn't in charge of tempos or anything, nor key. So anyway, and so we were dealing with this right from the get-go. Okay. Let's see. I think I may have here an example. Let's see if we're... And I'm not sure about loudness on this. Let's find out.
Serge.
Note the plosives and the variability of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was after about four, I want to say it was about four times. Please send it to us dry. Find a good recording studio and make sure that it is a proper file, you know, WAVE file or better. And recorded a certain, you had a specific.
Yeah, we gave some specifics, you know, in terms
specs,
of pit
right?
depth and all that, you know.
Yep. So we got back a very reverb-drenched yes. with the scratch yes. piano in the background version. And then we got another one that didn't have the piano but still had the reverb in it. And then we got another one, I think, in there that was a combination of something. And finally, we got that one. That was a good one.
Well, that's the good one, except if you try to have a regularity of tempo there, you're going to be looking pretty hard. Now, what does this mean to us regular folk? That means we need to piecemeal what we're hearing and try and place it, edit it like crazy to try and place it. So musically, that sounded believable because it was all over the map in terms of tempo. Yeah, Dan?
If this is such a big deal, why can't you bring each of these three people here?
They're in different countries.
Yeah, so there's airplanes.
Yeah. I'm not in charge of that.
No, that's a good question. And I had actually, thought of recently if we were going to do any recording to actually fly so that I could be a part of it, so at least I could be, you know, boots on the ground. But that was not the decision that was made, probably because of there were some financial constraints, probably. They don't want this to cost a ton of money at the same time. They feel like if we're, you know, doing it all here and we just record there, that that's better. And in a lot of cases, I think it's the it's just that mentality or that appearance that, nope, they're going to stay in their home and we're not going to fly them out. So that was another one of the decisions that's sort of out of our hands. But it is a great point. There's so many, as you go along, there are so many places where you guys are going to go, oh, well, just do it, you know. But
this
that's
is
not
very,
an option.
Very similar to film scoring, where you say, well, look, it's cheaper if we have it recorded in Prague, or it's cheaper if we have it recorded somewhere else rather than, say, Los Angeles for sure. And that is true. It's cheaper, at least initially. But it is also true that you have superb musicians. You have a system down there that's extremely well-oiled. And so you have extraordinarily high efficiency, people who are remarkably, just wonderful sight readers, and also musically, they have chameleonic personalities. You want this style? You get it. You want that? You'll get it. They've been around the block. Here in Seattle, I would say that the people do a much better job than some of the other places. I know of some. I don't want to get into that because it's, you know, all it is not saying nice things, you know. So. But anyway, yeah, it's certainly a good question. So that was the sample of going home. You already heard. And so we're not going to go any further about going home, but we will talk about Alleluia, Leonard Cohen's Alleluia. Leonard Cohen's Alleluia, all of that was tracked here. You want to give the background?
So the background on Hallelujah, that was another senior VP selection for songs. He's kind of funny. He would say, what do you guys think about songs for this year? And why don't you think about it and get back to me? And we would think about it and come back. And I would say, oh, what about this or that? And he goes, yeah. You know, I was thinking Hallelujah would be a good song. I'm like, okay. Really? Because then I started listening to it. And if you listen to it, I think Cohen's point in there is he's trying to marry the sort of very earthly and the very spiritual. And that's not necessarily what you want to be thinking about when you're watching, you know. She tied him to a kitchen chair and cut his hair. And I'm watching Mary Lou, you know.
Oh,
I remember Mary Lou. It just seemed odd. So he recognized that, fortunately. And so we had sort of, let's talk about the lyrics. There are, I think I found that Cohen, there were like 39 verses he wrote for the thing and would share with some of his musician friends. So it's sort of a legend. But he said he had over 100. But there are certainly lots of verses to choose from. So I wanted to go for the ones that were popular, that weren't going to be offensive, and then make any minor edits. So like the kitchen chair verse is crucial, I think, to the song. But we just softened a few of the words so that it wasn't tied to the kitchen chair. I don't remember what we changed exactly. But those were things where we could soften it just enough so that nobody's going to notice, and it's a background thing anyway. So we got the thumbs up for the content, and then it was time to talk about singers. And we had to audition singers from here. It's going to be done in English only. And the singer that we had used a couple of years ago, who was great, she was unavailable. Her throat had a problem or something, was not able to sing. So we started, and it's funny, you know, people at the office, hey, do you sing? Oh, yeah, I sing all the time. You want me to sing? Sure. And you listen to their audition, it's like, okay. Serge, that's great. And then others who you know have wonderful voices, and you say, so this is, you know, if you've not recorded, a little bit of an intimidating thing. You know, everybody's for you in the studio. You're going to be around very supportive people, but it is, you know, you got to sing into the microphone, and we're going to hear your voice back, and that can be a little intimidating. And I try to walk them through as best I can. And I would have people say, it's not for me. I'm not going to do it. I was like, you have a great voice. Tell me more about why you don't want to do this. You know, and they would just say, I don't need to do this. So it's really, you would think out of the thousands of people that we have here locally that work for Costco, there would be some. And I'm sure there are, but just none
that came forward in time. So there was one singer who did, and she was actually about one cube away from where this hall started, where I was talked to. She works, actually for the Today magazine, which is our internal magazine for employees. And she was one of the writers, and somebody said, she sings, why don't you get her to sing? And I said, well, let's meet. And what I would do is bring her into a little room where they have some equipment set up for recording training sessions. And I brought my guitar, and I would just strum along, and I'd say, just sing into the microphone, it's not about me. And I'd send those up to our senior VP, and he'd listen to them, and he rejected, I think, five or six that I sent his way. And then when this one came by, it was one of the good ones, fortunately, that I thought was good. And he said, yeah, I like that voice. It's a good voice. Okay, well, we can work with that.
Let me offer a little perspective on that. You know, good, bad, great, and so forth, these are all relative things. Let me show you something that Grant sent me. And it's actually an MP3, but it'll get across the idea of what this young lady sounded like. If I hit the right button, let's see, are we going to hear
the pressure's
again?
On here.
She had never been in a recording studio. And one way to also say essentially the same thing, she wasn't familiar with how to use microphones or sing into a mic, that kind of thing. She was first of all, very nice young person. And she had one great quality. She was coachable. She would listen. She would try. Now, that coachability stuff, there wasn't really anything. I did very, very little, just simple stuff on mic, and that's pretty much it. But maybe you can say a word about that.
Yes. So she's actually a square dance caller. She calls square dances, so she knew how to hold a microphone. She knew how to, you know, perform. She was also, and is also, a violinist, so she knows, I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
She plays the violin. But not well enough, I guess, she didn't feel comfortable being a part as a violinist. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. And probably fiddle anyway, so you don't probably count that, do you?
No. Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm a snob. Please, let's get that. No.
So she was game. And what was great is, you know, you can hear the pitch issues and all that sort of thing. And this was a little practice session of trying to work out an end part for the song. I needed it to go somewhere, which is another part of the story. Our senior VP is listening to a few of these things. So I'd send him up there, and he'd be, I don't know. This is, it's sounding thin. It's sounding, he's very nervous, but he doesn't know exactly why. I don't think he's hearing pitch issues, and he's hearing some breath control issues and some phrasing issues. Very vocal centered for what he's hearing. But what we both heard that we liked was there's a certain tonality there that, you know, you can fix a lot of stuff, as you know, in the studio, but the tone you can't really fix. And she had a certain tone to it. There's also a certain vulnerability in the voice that both of us liked. And that came through on the final as well. So she was game. She showed up. She came here. And
she was. Yeah. And for someone who's never been in the studio, who realizes her voice is going to be heard by all the managers, the Costco managers in the world, down at the Washington Trade and Convention Center in that big room and so forth, I suppose that you could understand why some people would be a little gun-shy and even have anything to do with that. It's easy to say, oh, sure, I sing. Well, would you care to sing and have your voice heard in front of, you know, I mean, so that's a wholly different deal when it's a big production, it turns out to be anyway. Okay, so yes, there were some adjustments we had to make to what we tracked. Now, there are many dimensions to this, and I, believe it or not, I'm only going to look at surface stuff. If I start getting involved, particularly in the details of pitch correction, it just went on and on. I don't know how many I made. So many, I didn't want to have to count this. This is simply volume. Volume adjusts. That's all that is. This was on one track. You might note we had other tracks too. You know, we had more than one take. But and you might also note that we had a lot of editing. Those edits were from some of the other takes. So we tried to put this, that, and the rest together and come up with something that... And the hard part is it's got to sound as if it's one take and it's believable. The last thing you want is something that sounds anything other than that. I mean, just, you know, it's got to be... one of the key elements in everything is a high believability quotient. No studio stuff. No knob twisting, you know, and all that. Okay, anyway, there's that. All right. Now, in this song, there's the singer, the soloist. But at a certain point, there comes some backup singers or a choir of sorts. And by the way, the singer on the backup singers was Robin, the young lady who mm-hmm. was also the soloist. She'd never done that. She'd, you know, oh, that's me. Yes, I'm supposed to sing with me. Okay. And on headphones, you know, and it's just new. It's just new. And a little, you know, you need a comfort zone. Well, there wasn't any comfort zone. So fortunately, Grant has a great ability to work with people. I'm very interested in trying to see people do well rather than fail. That's we have no interest in that, you know. So anyway, and Robin herself was the kind of personality who seemed to be able to deal with it. And it was a great quality.
Yeah, you know, for never doing it, and hearing yourself can be horrifying for first-time singers, as you know. And she came back and she would listen and she would go, yeah, a little bit of pitch issues there. And she would go back out and punch in, and which was great.
And there were improvements.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't just talk. Yeah, better, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. These are, well, would we have eight iterations toward the end of the song? You're going to hear this kind of backup, you know, choir, as it were. They're not all the same. They look that way, but they're not. They're slightly scaled, so they would grow in loudness. Our problem, from a musical standpoint, as already mentioned by Grant, we couldn't have the big, grand, glorious end to this thing. These are people who are deceased. And the vice president very much wanted this not to be some big grand glorious thing that in any way called attention to itself. Well, giant crescendos might tend to do that, you know, look at us, you know, and so forth. So we couldn't make an anthem out of it or anything close to that. So this was interesting, scaling this. One of the reasons I even mentioned, you see little slight, you know, little things. One of the reasons I mentioned this is then we got in, we're bringing us back to where we had edits. Edits to the point where was it going to be a song that was 6 minutes and 45 seconds and change, or 5 minutes and 29 seconds and change, or 6:25, or 6:39, and so it's not that they gave us the number first. It's just they said, we got to get rid of something,
yep.
Or we have to add something, or we, you know, and making cuts in this kind of thing. Is sometimes quite difficult. It's not MIDI. It's not regularity of beat. It's a little bit of a problem.
Mike, did you have the benefit of seeing the visuals?
I never, and I have not, to this moment, ever seen any of the video. None. That's the answer.
I asked actually about that because I told some folks I was going to come do this and made sure that there was no issues with disclosing anything. And they said, oh, no, that's fine. As long as you don't show the thing, because these are Costco members who have not signed releases for any kind of public performance. And it's like, yeah, I never thought of that, but okay.
My son, the intellectual property attorney, would say exactly the same thing. He says, you better get releases before you do anything like that. Well, we didn't go down that road. That's fine. Hey, you know. Okay, I'm going to play something. I don't know if this is loud enough, but I want you to hear just one example of some difficulties we encountered. We were tracking what you're about to hear here in Opus 4. Guy playing guitar. Guy with his guitar amp. Mic in front of guitar amp. What could go wrong? Come on. Oops. Well, we're going to get... What's that hum? That, yeah. We didn't want that to be present. We were stuck with it. I remember that day where we were, I was looking all over the place. I tried every cable thinking, I got a bad cable or something. I tried phase inversion and this and that and so forth thinking, I ought to be able to attenuate that. That was inherent in his guitar amp. I've got a guitar amp right over there that has no such sounds. I've got another one inside. Has no such sounds. Sounds okay. Well, I didn't even want to bring it up. I had the feeling, look, let's...
It's a 1967 Fender Princeton. Come on.
What could go wrong? Okay.
What'd you do, Mike?
This is what you just heard, graphical representation of what you just heard. That's actually longer than what we actually used. You see, that's only that part. And then, in addition, I had to try to filter the thing out. This is a little, just attenuated. Yes, there are certain ways of going in there, but again, that guitar was recorded rather late in the show, actually.
Yeah, that was the other problem was not only were we running out of time, but schedules kept messing up. You know, I wanted the musicians as much as possible to be here for the session together so we could, dial in anything we needed to do and then have the singer come in afterwards. That was ideal. Well, nobody's schedule was lining up. And then the guitarist was in the UK for a while and...
Yes.
I could have probably played the guitar part. It's an easy part. But the other thing is, you want to have as many people on the end credits as you can. If I do everything, then it's, what's the point?
And I think that the vice president would certainly adhere. He would, I happen to think he's a very good man and very musically, he's a good guy. He has strong opinions. And those strong opinions are what rule the roost. Simple as that.
Yep.
As simple as that. Okay, so there we are. On pitch, you're familiar with Melodyne and Pitch and Time. Grant became more familiar with Melodyne, of course. And I was pretty familiar with those, but I happen to use Pitch and Time on this. It's very hard to see, but there's a PNT up here. There's a PNT up here. What it doesn't tell you is whether it's simply a very simple thing where you say, let's lower it 22 cents or let's raise it. That's easy stuff. But what if it's a vocal, pitch-wise? What if it's all over the map? You can dial in pitch and you can shape it and so forth, for that matter, in other programs. But it takes time. And then when you're confronted with really... maybe hundreds. I didn't count, but many, many pitch adjustments. And by the way, when it comes to pitch, if you don't listen, you don't care. But when you're working in the booth, you're working on these things, you become keenly aware of everything. And what used to be is okay is not okay. You can't let it pass. I had to let some stuff pass. I had to. And those of you with excellent ears, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that because that was one of our joys and happiness. I wasn't going to. Just went on and on and on. So, and speaking of edits and so forth, you can see some of these things. I wanted to mention one other thing, too, which some of you, I'm sure, are very aware of. I didn't want Robin's message, in other words, the word she was singing, to be lost at any moment. I didn't want one syllable, even though it came very close in some places. to be lost. I thought the most important thing that she was in here, that she be understood. So we did, some people call it double compression, or what's another term for the same thing, Rick?
Parallel,
thank you, parallel compression. Yeah, you know, this kind of stuff. What all that means is, this is what was captured. This is what was captured with a compressor added to it, dialed in very gently, maybe 3:1, something like that in this case. And that varies enormously depending, all I can say is depending, really. And then this is played at a lower level than this. Why do we do things like this? We want to hear some life, some breath and the sound, rather than, you know, killing the peaks and the transients and all of that. But we don't want to lose anything. So there's a floor beneath which we aren't really going to dip in terms of what's perceived. So yes, it is a compression, it's a form of compression, really. But it's a form of useful compression given the circumstances. Now, if I had a wonderful singer, very well familiar with mics, I might not have to do this at all. You know, you take them one at a time. So anyway, I just wanted to mention, yes, we did that to try to help things.
Was the second track uncompressed? Or?
The second track, which is actually a duplication of the first track, the second track is compressed. But then it's dropped a little lower, though. And you have to kind of find where it seems to do. Yeah.
Both tracks are compressed.
No. First track is not compressed. That was voice, mic, preamp, capture. That's what it was. Some people like to compress right from the get-go. Well, when it's such an unknown, I thought this approach might give me a little bit more, to work with. You know, I might not shoot myself in the foot. Okay. On those, toward the end of the song, where we have the voices that are kind of the choir, we wanted it to sound, I don't know, a little heavenly or something like that. So I added a simple verb, roughly 4 seconds onto the thing. You might note that the fades differ. They differ because even though it was Robin who was singing all of those parts, pitch sometimes would go so errant, I had to cut it. Or the balance wasn't right. And so believe it or not, even if it looks graphically weird, it sounds, it works, put it that way. So we were balancing, we were juggling a number of balls here. Anyway, this is another, example of, you can see the general idea of levels on the choir, as it were, toward the end. Oh, this is just kind of a reiteration, actually. I don't know why I didn't show you some. I should have shown you more of the pitch and time. The reason I'm not showing you pitch and time, I'd have to open up that application, play an example, show you. I'm afraid I was mortally fearful about time, and I'm already talking too long, really, but I was very fearful about how long that could run. That is a, whether it's Melodyne or pitch and time, that's a big conversation. Grant applied Melodyne to, who was it? Serge?
It was, I definitely did Serge, but I think it was Diego, actually, that was from Spain. But he had a really nice conversational kind of voice. His problem, and he described himself more as a guitarist and a singer. So he played mostly the guitar, and everybody would sing, and he would be one of the singers. So he's really flattered that we chose him. But his pitch was so consistently flat that when we did a quick and dirty, let's just drop it in pitch and time, see what happens, pitch and time thought he was singing a half step down. And it sounded like it was on the internet.
No,
it was bad.
It wasn't pitch and time. Help me out.
It wasn't?
Auto-tune.
It was auto-tune? It
we
was one
actually,
of those.
I hardly ever use auto-tune, but
yeah,
I,
maybe
I
it was.
What the hey, you know.
Boy,
auto-tune got all confused. You can dial this and that in and so forth.
I remember it was a school night. It was about 9:30. I needed to get home, and we listened to that and just went, oh boy, man, I got to go. This is going to be a lot of work. So I took the track home and brought it into Melodyne and just to see graphically what's going on in there. And it was like, I see what's happening. He's just flat. Okay, well, let's just move these guys up. And then I'm thinking, wait a minute, I might be stepping on your toes, because if we bring something that's already been pitch corrected and all the ones and zeros show up on yours, you got more work to do. Or are we going to get artifacts? Are we going to run into more problems this way? But we always have the original track. So
wait, right, and as it turns out, it simply was a help. Again, on sir, I had to go in there and do surgery on Surge.
Oh, yeah.
Believe me. But the irony of that is that we're not going to play that. You heard a little bit of him, yeah. At the beginning. And that's it. We're not going to play that song. But we are coming to where we are going to show you the result. By the way, this is a portion where you can see some stuff here. Fine. That one, that example, I thought it might have been, the last final track. Ha, ha, ha. No. And then another rejected version. This shows you from beginning to end, what was this one? 627, that's 639 in length and so forth. Yes, this one, 538 roughly, and so forth. Now, these are iterations, and they keep changing. And so it's not a simple edit. It's a heck of a lot of work, because you've got to scale everything. And then you'll note on this one, there were only four of those little, choir voices. And we chose, was it 1, 2, 7, 8?
It was something like that.
Something like that, because they were the best ones. And so that meant reinventing, the wheel and all that. So, yeah.
So we ended up, and that was part of my reason for arranging it and putting 8 things at the end, because if we need to cut time,
yes,
we could take 4 of those out. So we got the word. The word is, it's going to be 9 minutes and 38 seconds, and we go, great, let's edit it down, let's get it. Well, about a week and a half later, the email that was sent out that said, thanks for participating, anybody that passes away between now and the event, we'll just have to hold on until next year, but thanks so much. Oh, wait, said Canada, wait, I didn't know you meant really. Oh no, we've got these to do. And they gave them to us, and after we had cut out and surgically done all of that, I had to call Mike and say, guess what? We've got to add all that stuff back in and redo all of that. And
we really, really are cutting to the chase for the sake of, I don't want you all to snooze off, but there's an awful lot in between here that we're not going to worry about. You can get the sense, though, of this kind of project and some of the, by its very nature, some of the potential difficulties. You heard what she sounded like, that little clip, the MP3 at the beginning. Now what I'm going to do is actually play this. I ask your indulgence. I'm actually going to play. You're going to listen to 6 minutes and, what is it, 39 or 45 seconds of sound.
I don't know what we
ended
up with.
Okay. And I'm even, well, no, maybe I will leave the lights on because we're videoing this. Okay. All right. So anyway, I don't know. So anyway, here we go. Whoops.
Oh, not that's that not one. It.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before the last thing, this is a bridge we recorded here. So it allowed us some variability between the two songs. We didn't know how much time. So, sorry, it's a little loud there.
Which never got used. I don't think we
used
it.
Oh, it wasn't?
Mm-mm.
We recorded it not once. I think we recorded it at least twice.
Yep. But yeah. These putting little pieces together makes it a lot more flexible at the end.
No. We left them a lot of, we never stopped the sound.
Long tails.
Okay. This is the final.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do ya? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift. The baffled king composes, hallelujah. 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 Your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her dancing on the roof. The beauty of the movement overthrew you. She brought you to her kitchenware. She broke your heart and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
That hallelujah was a hell of a lot of pitch correction.
I know this room, but I've walked these floors. I used to live alone before I knew ya. I've seen your flag on the marble arch, but love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you. So, that was the final.
Nice job, Mike.
Nice, Mike. Good job.
I didn't sing a note. I didn't play a note. But
you
for those of us who are on the other side of the glass from time to time, you can appreciate the challenge. And the key element of this was to impart something not only, even with the restrictions, this is underscoring. This isn't where we have free rein to make the song what we might by ourselves wish to make the song. No, this is underscoring. And given that, we were trying to still get across some emotional impact, too. So anyway, that's pretty much it. I don't know if I have another slide here or not. Let's see. Oh, that.
Oh, yeah. The Costco manager says, that worked out great. I'm going to do it exactly the same way next time.
Well, I got to tell you something. I have heard over the years this kind of thing. You know, it's nice getting a, you know, positive reaction. But
I'm not changing a bit.
In all honesty, though, as Grant and I have discussed, and I don't know if this will ever happen or not. I have no idea. But there are ways to approach this that would be not only more efficient, but I can't think of a negative. I can only think of positives. You can fill in a lot of blanks, you know. But after all said and done, though, the people, though, that we work with at Costco, I mean, I don't know, seven, eight years, maybe.
Yeah, you've worked on this longer than I have.
Ever since. Yeah. I think they started off with something, and then they said, oh, this isn't working too well.
Yeah.
So they gave me a shot.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so they've been good. Like Kai, who was mentioned, Kai Fernandez, he's a good guy. The young lady who sang two years ago.
Yeah.
Very nice lady. Very nice. There has not been in that group that I've seen in the studio one person who's been any problem, any difficulty. I would say, if anything, they're very respectful. And, you know, so anyway, it's been a very positive experience, though not always the easiest way to go about doing things. Got to say that. But part of that is nothing more nor less than the nature of the project. So either we choose to take it on or we say, no, I'll pass, that kind of thing. I'm glad I'm doing it because it kind of sharpens my chops in certain areas too.
One of the big things that I remember after, you know, we had to restore and re-edit to make it musical again, one of the big things was the person putting together the video in Premiere dropped in the audio, and she said, "Oh my gosh, this is great." And I went, "Yeah, okay. Are you gonna move it around?" And they said, "No, we dropped it in at the very beginning, and it worked perfectly throughout the whole thing." She was so tickled. It was like, "There you go. Well, let me see." And it's like it faded out just at the right moment when the credits come up, and I said, "Well, you could have just." "No, I'm not touching it. It's perfect. Okay."
Well, you know, I kind of felt I was a bit of a Robbie to Robot in Forbidden Planet, where, who was the cook, you know, who says, "I'd like 50 cases or bottles of rum or something like that." And because I got they said, "Mike, can you do something about the length?" This was several years ago.
Yeah, this was before.
And and I said, "Well, Kai, what length would you like?" And he told me. I says, "Well, would within a hundredth of a second do?" He said, "Yeah, it'd be all right." Because it's easy. We know how to do this. We are so fortunate having tools that will enable this. All you have to do is just know how to do it. And hopefully you have a little musical sensibility, and, you know. So anyway, that was the project. Any questions? Yeah, Rick.
What program are you using to edit in with that Pro Tools? That
was all audio Pro Tools. Well, there were some outboard pieces of gear, but essentially, Pro Tools.
Yeah. And what was the keyboard? Was it this piano here?
This piano right here is the piano you heard. The synthesizer.
Yeah, a Rompler from back in the day.
Yep.
That was noisy, by the way. We did some magic to try to get rid of that.
Right.
That hum.
You know, every step of the way, it seemed there was something, you know. I mean, it's just, but, you know. The little drum you heard was actually one of those drums you said. What's that thing called?
Well, he had asked if he...
Or was it the suitcase?
Yeah. So he brought a sort of a practice kit that he actually would, like, busk with, I think, or do small gigs with. And the kick drum was a suitcase. But that was part of it, was our marching orders are to not be, not to overdo it at all. So, you know, it was like, well, let me listen to it, you know, and you put your head down there and he hits it a few times. And like, you know, we can do a lot in the studio. That'll probably do. You know, I kind of would have preferred it to be a very big sound, almost a 24 or something like that. Boom, really, really low. But I knew that when they actually do the presentation, the volume level is so low. And I didn't realize how low it was until I went there. That's, again, more to the story. But it was better this way. A little tighter, a little bit, you know, easier to sit in that mix.
So I know that Grant had ideas that were good ideas, good musical ideas. I think they were disallowed by the marching orders. I had things I'd like to do. No way. It wouldn't fit. Simple as that. Did I play that little... Did I play that little clip? It sounds weird, and we didn't use it, but there would have been...
Oh, the guitar part?
Yeah, that thing. Let me just see if I can find that.
Yeah.
Right. Is that it? Let me see if I... Not that.
It was before that.
This thing, you might say, what in blazes is that? You know, like cacophony. Toward the end, had we scaled it, had we used it, it actually could have maybe been kind of cool.
Yeah. The problem was we were out of time, and that needed more arranging. That needed, you know, that was probably too many notes for what we were looking for.
Yep.
So we would have had to edit it down. You know, we've got a time constraint we're dealing with at that point. We got to get those volume swells. That was really all I was after.
Right.
And he wanted to try a few things just on his own, but it was like, yeah, okay. Thanks.
Yes. I was hoping you wouldn't ask that. I didn't count the hours. I can put it in a few terms. Let me give you some numbers that might give you a rough idea.
Yeah. No, not how much cumulative time you spent on it. How much time did you get from the beginning of project to the end?
You mean the first day to the last day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that and then an idea of, all right, so you finally got somebody and you have a bass in the studio and you started recording from that point on to when it was due. I mean, cause I guess I'm just trying to get an idea of how much time you spent editing and...
Oh, well, if you're asking that, I went to the computer on 94 different occasions. I had so much work I had to do in this thing, some of which were fairly brief, some of which were many hours.
Was it 2 weeks from when you got the job to when it was done, or 2 months, or?
It started. It's this particular one, because of the logistics of getting all those singers from around the world figured out.
Yeah.
We did that scratch track. I think it was late in May.
Yes.
And then we sent that out. They did their records in June and came back here. One part we didn't talk about was once. I had done, because I had the tracks, I needed to send them to you. I dropped them into Logic or GarageBand or something just so that the senior VP could hear the ones that had come back already and kind of what it was sounding like. And one of his comments was, I listened to it. It's too fast, Grant. It's too fast. We have to slow it down. And I'm thinking, how much do we have to slow it down? Because I thought I was dragging it, but... okay, well, here's why we talked about tempo to begin with, but you can't say that. So, I remember we sat in here and we said, okay, well, let's marry all this stuff up in Pro Tools and then slow it down. Let's see what we can do in pitch and time, I think is what you used.
Slowed stuff down just to listen to
it. Yeah, and we got it all the way down to when it started to artifact. And then and I said, well, that's got to be it. I'll go back and I'll report. If you go any slower than this, we have to start over. and see what that does.
Oh, there was a little matter of being in the right key, too. There was
Yep.
What was the date of the meeting?
The meeting is, I think they play this on the 31st of July.
Yes.
So it all had to be in the can and done by about the, I think the final review is the week before that.
So about 2 months.
Yeah.
That would be fair.
Yeah.
Yes.
Early parts, just little bits and pieces, a few hours here and there in the studio, not too bad. But once it gets into the later parts of June, that's when we start really hammering it out. But the challenge is it's all pretty good at the end of June, but it all has to be readdressed. Is it still going to work in the middle of July? That's when the real challenge is.
This particular example was last year, 2017.
Yeah. This was, yes.
Will you be working on this year's as well?
Interesting question. After all this and everything, they're going to use content we've already recorded in the past, is my understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Already did. Well, so I dropped those files into Logic, and I brought the senior VP, who's now retired, but he's still working on this project for this year. And we sat down for this meeting a few weeks ago, and the goal was to find out how much silence between the songs. So song one, so we're taking songs from the past, bringing them forward. Song one ends, and follow, dum, dum. Where does it start the next song? And that's what the whole meeting was about. We're getting to that level of detail. So we sat in a room with a monitor, nothing, no fancy speakers or anything, just to get the content so that it's right. No, I think that's a little bit on the outside there, a little too. Let's bring it up. No problem. Just grab it, and there you go. Let's try it again. Dum, dum. Da-da-da. Good? We're good. So that's the level of detail we have to get to sometimes to make people
happy. Let me just add one thing to that. What that means is my wife and I are going to be able to take a vacation this July.
Yeah,
and we
that's
are.
True. Yeah.
By the way, it's going to be
you
could
call
the latter
us.
Part.
Forgive the rookie question, but sure. Wouldn't it have been easier for you to do the sound and tell them, okay, just change the amount of time each slide?
You know, that dialogue actually came up within this past week, was it? With Grant and I were talking about
that. I've had
that
dialogue for many years. And the problem mostly, I think, has to do with just like all these transitions are very highly directed at times because the vision has to be maintained. The amount of time that each face is on the screen is approved. So it's 2.163 seconds, and that's what it is.
Right.
So the other thing, too, is that the folks that are doing the video part of this, some of them, this is not really their day job, kind of. They're doing other things, so it's like, no, I know Premiere, I can do this. But they're not expert in it. They drop the audio in, they know how to do that, they know how to, you know, and it's like, well, you could probably make something that just takes that 2.136 seconds down to 2.09 seconds, and the net result is, and I get a no.
Well, those of you who are familiar with Final Cut Pro know that you have more than one way of doing that very efficiently. I'm a Final Cut Pro guy. I'm not a Premiere. But I would think in Premiere you should do that. But you ought to be able to do it in a mode where you could try, instead of 2.163, 2.1 or 2.059 or 2, what, I don't know. And you could find out very quickly and say, but on a global rather than on a piecemeal individual scale, too, which I believe is how they were approaching it.
Yeah, they were doing piecemeal, so they didn't have any kind of global setup on that, which probably could be done, but I don't know Premiere. I can't help them.
So what about the first song that was supposed to be?
Well, I'm afraid the meeting isn't going on, you know, if we've got into that one. Now, that was another interesting experience, and we've already touched upon one of the reasons it was interesting.
Because that sounds like far more of a difficult editing job than what you had to do here.
This one sounds better, though, at the end.
Yeah. The thing about that is marrying four voices that are so diverse, diversely recorded and so forth, so that it sounds, this all belongs together, you know. That was a major league challenge, that's true. Once again, we can get into that, but that's not the subject of tonight's. But you're right about that. In terms of other things, anything other than the voice, that was all done here, and that was easy. That wasn't hard, really. Grant played piano. What else did we have? Whatever we had, I don't
know. I think we put on some sort of some plug-in strings or something, like something synthetic that you hated.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah, you did.
Do I know this?
You,
did you
turn
your cello
around?
I
did move this cello over there, but it's still, Yeah. I've gotten this one. It's been around forever. So.
Well, part of my challenge too, as the music guy, is I'm listening to the senior VP who's listening to a piano only accompaniment with voice. Classic combination. Can't go wrong, right? It's like, that sounds good to me. I like it. And he listens to it and goes, that's thin. What do you mean it's thin? It needs more like a string pad. And it's like, no, like a, he doesn't have maybe the words for it. It just sounds thin to him. So, well, does that mean EQ? I'm trying to distill what is it that we're trying to get at. And so I would provide different ideas. And when he'd settle on one, he'd go, that's what I like. Then I have to call Mike and say, hey, Mike, I'm going to play some strings that aren't real.
Oh, I didn't mind that. No, that was fine.
Do you have a cello plug-in that we can use?
Oh, that one. Yeah. No, I hate that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Proteus, the Proteus plug-in?
Oh, my gosh.
It is the most horrid thing.
Yeah.
When I was for, 12, 13 years principal cellist down at the Fifth Ave.
Yeah.
And, my God, they would actually use that Proteus sometimes. It was horrid.
Yeah.
I'm not...
And I remember at the end of one of these, I don't know if it was going home, but sending one back, and both you and I were listening to it going,
Yep.
Boy, let's dial those strings back. They add some fullness, some weight underneath it, which is good, but we don't want it up there too loud because then it's going to be, and we sent it back to him with it a little where we wanted it, and he was like, no, it's thin, too thin. Like, Mike, pump it up. Pump it up a little bit. So we pumped it up as much as it was like, well, now it's really, I'm not happy with it. He's not happy with it. But Senior VP,
oh, yeah.
We like it.
That's what I want.
It doesn't bother me at all.
So okay. There you go.
All right.
Yes.
I have more of a stylistic question. How did you decide how loud the vocals were relative to the...
Musically.
Yeah, it's a stylistic question, but if you could...
No, that's a fair question. That's a question every one of us asks if we're recording anything, of the sort. And musically, I'll tell you this, though. The room down there is a big room. It has certain characteristics. I don't know it from having heard this down there. I just know it from having played down there. I know the room, well enough anyway. And I knew that if it was going to air one way or the other, it would air towards obscuring rather than highlighting the words. And so I actually, the second to the last iteration of this, the vocals were 2.8 dB higher than they wound up being. I did that because of my own experience there, but it was a guess, purely a guess. And purely for listening, say, in this environment, it would have been too loud. So I lowered it because they were listening down there, not now. I got to show you one last thing about, and Grant already mentioned this, really. You'll love this after all this. Okay. No, not that.
That's pretty. Who is that? I like it.
By the way, these are not pieces of sheet music you ordered that you created,
We heard this one already. Or are you pointing?
You tell
else?
Me the level. Too soft?
Oh, you mean the overall?
The actual level.
Okay. Down.
Down.
Keep going. Right about there. This is the level that the senior VP wants at the presentation. And I mean, here's what I heard, because you have 3,000 people out there, who are just finishing their dinner and listening to this. And it is not enough to cover the dishes in the kitchen. It is not enough. Mostly what I heard was, and remember, these are, you know, they all have their own warehouses. So, this is what I could hear throughout.
Bunch of cell phones.
Right. Because it was at this level. If you bump it up a little bit, the vision was that we don't want the music to call attention to itself. We want to be focused on what we're thinking about in terms of the people who have passed away. But part of, as you know, what audio does is helps to cover and to invite you in, so you don't hear all that distraction. You don't hear the people talking in the kitchen, the kitchen banging around. So I unfortunately didn't go to the very first two of these that I worked on, and I should have, because then if I known it was at that level, we would have made different choices in terms of compression and a lot of stuff.
Yeah, well, so, yeah.
You could smash it.
Dynamic range of 2 dB.
Oh, would have been great.
Well,
or even...
That's exactly right. If we had known this is what actually playback level would have been, then...
I was making decisions on how
to do something.
You noticed
like
how
that.
Silent or how soft the drums were in the mix. That is because, you know, we don't want to call attention to the music at all. So, but it needed some in there. Yes. You couldn't hear it when it was being performed.
Yeah. I had similar problems with the Seattle fireworks audio that we did for 7 years.
Yeah.
Because you sit at home and, they didn't turn on the feed. So you were hearing the microphones in the crowd.
Oh.
Bangs, and so you get actually the PA and all the bangs, and it's really small, and we worked really hard at getting all these, you know, good vibrations, just the right length and everything.
Yeah.
And then they turned it on halfway into it, and it came up, and those were embarrassing days. But,
yeah.
Every year was challenging for some reason or another, usually technical for what they've done on playback.
It wouldn't be that hard, knowing that the level was at this level, to provide a very squashed version. And a very medium version, and then get out there, because the senior VP would walk around at 5:30 before, when everybody else was in another meeting, and he would stand in different parts of the room, and he would listen to him, and he would motion to the sound people down, or, you know, a little bit more, or whatever. So, I mean, we're talking about a great deal of direction here, a great deal of care, and going in to support this vision. Then we could say, well, let's try version B, which is squashed to nothing. And might have been the right choice. So, and certainly, I would have brought the percussion up if we wanted it to be heard and some of the other things.
Absolutely.
So.
No, we obviously, this is not a matter of, gee, I don't know how to do that. It's a matter of knowing certain basics, like, which we didn't know. It's as simple as that. So you could argue, you mean you did all this and then they played it at that level?
Yeah.
Did you get paid?
Hmm?
Did you get paid?
There is a certain fee involved.
Just say yes, that everything's fine.
We pay good. He's just got to invoice us on time. That's what they told me. They said, make sure he can send you an invoice. You're too busy, Mike.
Yeah. Anyway, so that pretty much is it. If there aren't any other questions, we do have some food inside. I hope you enjoy. And then
let's do some applause and then do the drawing.
Oh, the drawing.
Sure, we can do that right now. Yeah.